In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we celebrate St. Jovo Pachayev. And so this reading that should be very familiar to you is read. It's read many, many times throughout the year. The Beatitudes according to St. Luke, or in St. Luke. I guess the Beatitudes according to Christ, but recorded by St. Luke. Let's look at them. They're shorter than the ones in St. Matthew. He lifted up his eyes to his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." St. Matthew says poor in spirit. Now, I believe that these actually were two different sermons, because in Matthew, he goes up onto a mountain. Here, he's in a plain. So he actually spoke these things twice, at least. Maybe multiple times. But Matthew says poor in spirit, and Luke, perhaps it was only said this way, remembers it as blessed are the poor. Are ye if you are poor? What does this mean? Even the poor are not poor anymore, except in other places in the world. For the most part, the poor are not poor because they're not humble. This is the poverty that the Lord is speaking of. Being humble, not grasping after money, not grasping after honor, but being humble, knowing our condition, knowing our human condition, and knowing that the Lord will help us and save us. This is what true poverty of spirit is. And only those who are poor will inherit the kingdom of God, no one else. The proud will not inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who are poor, poor in spirit. Then he says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." There's a lot of different hungers that people can have. He doesn't specify, but we know what this hunger must be if we are Christians. This hunger must be for righteousness. St. Matthew says it more like that, hunger and thirst after righteousness. This hunger must be for peace in our souls. Now, in order for that to happen, for us to have that hunger, we must know that there's something missing. It's very, very important. If you don't know that there's something missing from your heart, you won't hunger for it. Because attaining peace in this world is difficult. It's very hard. And so it is not something that is done by people who don't have hunger. As a Christian, I realized very early that we must cultivate this hunger. It doesn't come naturally to us. It's not a natural hunger. It's natural to be hungry for food. It's natural to like certain foods. Like, for instance, most people would like sweet foods, for instance. That's a natural thing. You don't have to teach someone to like food for the most part. Very rare when a person doesn't. But it is not natural, according to our natural inclinations, to be hungry for God. Now, we might say that we are hungry for God, but true hunger means that you desire God above everything else, above your own comfort, above your own ego, above any other worldly desire. This must be cultivated. This is why I talk to you so much, and I'll continue to talk to you so much, about the things you must do to cultivate this hunger. It's very critical. If you're not praying every day, then this hunger is going to dissipate and go away if it isn't already gone. If you're not reading the gospel with attention, with desire, then this hunger will go away. Other good things to read would be the Psalms, the lives of the saints, the rest of the scripture, especially the epistles. Read those things with a desire for your hunger to increase. This is very critically important. By the way, fasting also increases hunger, not physical hunger. Actually, fasting decreases physical hunger. If you fast correctly, you actually are less hungry during the fast than during other times of the year. But fasting will increase your hunger for God. That is, if you do it with humility and with desire, with expectation. If you do anything without expectation, then you shouldn't expect anything. So the reading, the prayer, the fasting is all to increase your hunger, to increase your poverty of spirit, to know more about who you are and who you are not and who you should be and who God is and how He will help you to be that which you should be. Now, with this hunger should come something else, weeping. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. I've always loved that. Ye shall laugh. I think about Sarah when she was standing in the tent and hearing from the angel that they were going to have a child. She laughed. But it was an ironic laugh. It was a bitter laugh. It was a cynical laugh. The angel said, you'll laugh. And indeed, Isaac was born a season later, and he was named Laughter. Isaac means laughing or laughter. This is a beautiful promise, and I love this promise. Because weeping is not fun. Weeping is painful. But you should weep. Now, if you can weep with actual tears, then God has blessed you deeply, because that actually helps to kind of make the weeping not so painful. But regardless if you have tears or not, you must weep. Look around you in the world. How many people love God? How many people know their direction in life, their purpose in life? How many people live in a way that will bring them closer to God, whether in the church or out of it? Or perhaps even whether in your soul. How many people are living according to their purpose? Isn't that a terrible tragedy that we have wars and murders and rapes and people are learning, or perhaps relearning, since the ancient pagans were immersed in this, learning that sexual immorality is a way of life? That is just the way you live? Isn't that terrible? Shouldn't that make you weep? It should. There are terrible tragedies happening all the time. Just a day ago, the Philippines had probably at least 10,000 people die because of a typhoon. And there's going to be lots of suffering after that typhoon. Probably more people will die after it than during it. We should weep, not only for physical tragedies, but especially for the spiritual tragedies. I had that moment of weeping, actually quite a few moments of weeping, when I was in New York recently. I loved the trip. We stayed with wonderful Christian people, very good friends. It was really wonderful and exciting to go to see various places and various colleges. And then we went to Times Square. And I saw just decay and purposelessness. It was a very difficult time. And my soul wept because of that. You should weep. You should weep for your sins first, and then also for the sins of your loved ones and for the sins of the world. You must cultivate this. This is not easy to do. It's very easy for us to just kind of forget about the things that are going on in the world, just kind of think from our own perspective. I don't know who said this, but I remember something that goes more or less like this. When one or two people die, it's a tragedy. But when 1,000 or 1,000,000 are killed, it's a statistic. That's how we are. We get numb to suffering and pain. Don't let yourself do this. Cultivate weeping. This is what a Christian heart must feel. You must be sad and sorry about the way the world is. I've been in front of many abortion clinics and prayed. And it's from the outside, it's really not very eventful. People stand and pray quietly. People walk into the clinics. Even when they walk right by you, there's no incidents. I've never seen one. But it's a terrible time because there's so much sadness in the air. There's a sense of deep sin and evil in the air. People are being misled. People are being brought to resolve a crisis in a way that will bring on more crises. You must find ways to cultivate this weeping. I find it by going in front of abortion clinics, by going to prison. Really, just by dealing with daily life and the people I encounter and their needs that are above my capacity to help them. You must learn to weep. And I recommend to you very strongly. In fact, I would say this is my pastoral admonition to all of you. Pray for the world. Pray for people by name that you know. Every day with the Jesus Prayer. And if it doesn't feel very like there's much going on when you do it anyway. Pray. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon Emmanuel. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon John. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon Philip. Have your list of people and pray for them. Force yourself to pray for people who have been hurt in tragedies like in the Philippines. You hear us praying all the time now for Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Nigeria, a couple other places. Of course, Syria and Egypt. And that's because there are people suffering terribly over there. You must cultivate this in your heart. If you are to really be a Christian, you must learn to weep for the sins of the world, for your sins also. Now, this is not really the message that mainstream Christianity says. I mean, that's not the message you're going to see on TV. The message is, you should be happy, you should be wealthy, everything should go well for you. But true Christianity feels deeply the needs of others. And if you reach out to them, both physically and also through prayer especially, it always must have prayer. If you just reach out to people without prayer, then it's not going to be fruitful. You always must reach out with prayer. But if you reach out with prayer and also physically, your soul will change. You'll become softer. Things that are wrong with you will go away. You'll have an empathy for people that you didn't have before. You'll have a sweetness about your soul that people will notice. You must do this. You must cultivate weeping. There must be sadness in your life if there is to be gladness. It's very, very important. And if you do weep, you will laugh. I love that very much. The Galatians selection that we read for St. Job and for many other saints is that famous one which speaks of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the things that will happen to you, and you will truly be glad. You will have joy that no one can take away from you. That's the only way to have joy, by the way, is to weep for others and weep for your own sins. You can't have joy any other way. The world wants to have joy only by having things that make you happy. things that you like, things that make you comfortable. That's not the way to obtain joy. The way to obtain joy versus happiness, they're different things. Joy is from God being in the heart. And God will only be in a heart that is like his own. And the Lord, when he was on this earth, he wept. And all he thought about was those that he came to save. And some of them would not be saved. Some of them would not allow themselves to be saved. And so he wept. You must cultivate weeping. Very, very critically important. Now, I want you to understand something. Perhaps you can't understand it now, but I'm telling you it's true. This weeping is not being depressed, being despondent, being sad. Actually, those who weep the most are the happiest in daily life. There's a wonderful book that many of you have read called Ordinary Saints. I'll mangle the reference, but basically there was a monk that was always unhappy and just looked sullen. He looked, didn't look good. And one of the fathers said, he doesn't weep at night. If you weep at night, you'll be glad during the day. That's really true. I found that to be true in my life. The more that I weep for others, the more happy I am. Now, because of certain weaknesses in my personality, I can slip easily into being unhappy because of the state of things. But if I weep before God, then there is happiness. Even in the same moment. It might sound impossible, but with God all things are possible. You can be weeping for your sins and yet have gladness in your heart. Laughing. Not ironic laughing. Not cynical laughing. But the joy like a child laughs when they are with the ones they love. Cultivate this. Learn to do this. If you're not praying the Jesus Prayer for people, start doing it today. If you're not sure how to do it, talk to me about it, and I will teach you. I'll just teach you the mechanics. As far as knowing how to pray, I don't even know how to do that yet. But even that, even though I'm not any good at it, God visits with his grace those who struggle to pray. So make sure you do that. The last beatitude that is in this selection is, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and separate you from their company and reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. And in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Do you really believe this? Our egos always want to be treated nicely. We want to be treated fairly, or actually we want to be treated above fairly. We want other people to be treated unfairly and us to be treated like we're important. And we don't want to be slandered. The world is full of slander now, especially about Christianity. The world is fixing to outlaw Christianity in Western civilization. It's happening before our eyes. There will be those of us who are still alive when that happens. I mean, maybe not officially outlawed. You can be Christian as long as you don't ever say anything that's Christian, at least publicly. That's happening. Are you ready for that? There's no way to get ready for that except to love God above all things, to be hungry, to have meekness and lowliness of soul, to weep for your sins and the sins of the world. Then you'll be ready. You'll be able to endure being derided, being cast out. God will help you with all those things. Above all, I want to reiterate to you, learn to weep, and then you'll be glad. In my experience as a pastor, when people are truly sad, it is because They are looking at themselves only and not looking outside of themselves. They are thinking, I don't have this, I don't have that, this situation is bad, this is intolerable, I don't like what's happening to me. They think of themselves. And this is a natural thing. This is what people do. This is what you and I do. It never brings happiness, ever. Never. The only way to have true happiness is to not think of yourself, to think of others, and to have a soft heart, a heart that weeps. Then you will have joy. So if we remember nothing else I tell you, remember this. Learn to weep. Learn to weep for your sins and for the sins of the world. This will make you lowly of heart. This will make you meek. This will make you hunger. Learn to weep. So make sure that starting today, if you have not done it already, you make a list of people that are in your life. Those people that are your loved ones, where things are going well, the ones where things are going poorly, the ones you're estranged from, the ones that are your enemies, the ones that make you mad when you think about them, the ones that are suffering that you might not even know. Write them all down and pray for them every day. Don't worry about the fact that you won't feel much at the beginning. Don't worry about that. Just keep doing it. Now, if you buttress this with fasting and with reading the Gospels and with desire, God will teach you. And you will learn to weep like a Christian. And if you learn to weep like a Christian, then you will be a true Christian. May God help us and teach us to weep. Amen.